Hello, 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 and welcome to Aging Pearls Podcast with Dr. Christy Hogue, where we are dedicated to providing dental pearls to all those concerned with the oral care needs of our aging population. Hello, 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 and welcome to Aging Pearls Podcast. Today, we are so excited to have our special guest, Dr. Miriam Zilger-Blake, and we're happy to have her. Welcome, Miriam.
Thank you so much for having me, Christy.
Yes, yes, we are longtime friends, and we were in the same residency and fellowship around the same time.
Yes, that's true. And we will not say how old we are or how long ago.
How many years we've known each other. Right, right. But it's such an honor to have you today on our Aging Pearls Podcast.
I'm so happy to be here, Christy.
Yes, yes. Dr. Zilger-Blake is a geriatrician, and she's going to basically just give us a little bit about her background, if you can kind of share with us.
So I am originally from Peru, so I am a Latin girl. Even my last names, they don't show it, but probably my accent, yes. I did geriatrics in Peru, and I worked for 10 years there. And then I met the love of my life, and I moved to the U.S. 11 years ago to start from zero. I did internal medicine and geriatrics, and then obesity medicine. So I am a triple board certified physician. But truly what makes me proud is not those certificates, but is the fact that I am a mother of two beautiful boys. That drives me crazy, by the way. And I am a physician, an academic physician, and a wellness advocate for physician and for the community too.
Awesome, awesome. So tell us a little bit how you got into the scope of wellness and mindfulness.
Yes, so it's very interesting because majority of us in the healthcare system, right, and nurses, dentists, social workers, and et cetera included, we go to training and we are very good in what we do, except on well-being. And that is something that for me was very challenging to understand, why we are so good taking care of others and we have no clue how to take care of ourselves. And what I discover is that we have been trained to be caregivers. Altruism is part of the requirement to go to any of these trainings. And we have been mistaking self-care with selfiness. And we have been mistaking asking for help or the need of rest or eat as a weakness. This is something that needs to change because the truth is that if we don't take care of ourselves, it's very difficult to offer good care to others.
That is so true. It's always that analogy of put your oxygen mask on first in the airplane before helping your loved one.
Yes. Yes, but I believe that many of us, doctors or nurses or dentists, we will run in the plane without any mask.
Right.
We will not get our mask first. And this is something that needs to change. And it needs to change as soon as possible, because right now, everything that we saw with COVID, we can notice that we got to our threshold. We went through our threshold. Right. And we as a community, we are suffering.
That is so true. So true. And so many people were already on the brink or on the verge prior to COVID. So that was just basically just the breaking barrier, as you said.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it's very interesting. And I apologize for not having statistics about dentists per se, but I want to say that in the US right now, 300 to 400 physicians die by suicide per year. More than 50-60% are burnout. And that these numbers, sadly, are not worse than 2 or 3 years ago. So this was, I mean, I would love to blame COVID, but this is not really just because of COVID. COVID just made it more apparent and visible for us. And it's sad. People should not die doing what they love to do and helping others.
That is so true. Such a valid point. And very interesting that it actually has not risen since COVID, but it was actually very prevalent even before COVID, the fact that work burnout.
Yes.
Yes. So do you have any tools or tips? I know that you recently are in the process of publishing a book. We're so excited. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I believe that busy people, because we are busy, right? We have so many excuses to avoid doing any practice of self-care that will be added to our calendar, right? And I am guilty of the same, so I will not lie on that. So from going to the gym or doing meditation or yoga, for example, things that are recommended, that mm-hmm. takes an extra hour in your calendar, in your life, and you are too tired or too busy to do it, and you have to sacrifice one thing. So I believe that we need to do a couple of things regarding that. Number one, to assume that this is an obligation as important as any other meeting that we may have, meaning that goes to our calendar. So mm-hmm. if you have it in the calendar, it's reality. Right. So if you decide that 2-3 days per week is good and healthy for you to do, again, yoga, meditation, exercising, going with friends, going to the beach, whatever it is, reading a book. So put it in your calendar and block that time and do not move it except for emergencies. Because now you are making an appointment with yourself, you are making an appointment with your well-being, right? Mm-hmm. And you are now believing that you are a priority. Wow. Same or more than any other client or patient or whatever you have in your calendar schedule. So that will be number one. Number two is be smart on merging activities. For example, what I do, I normally, when I park my car, red light, for example, I take deep breaths. Okay. And if my time, instead of being anxious about how long it will take to be green, I breathe in and out. And it's my time of, you know, seconds of relaxation. I do it also when I wash my hands between patients. Now I'm doing telehealth, so I don't have to do it. But before, I used to, between patients, you go and you wash your hands. So don't just wash your hands and have an act of gratitude, for example, or just
practice
lock your mind during, be present while you are touching your hands, when you feel the temperature of the water, when you feel the soap, right? Make sure that you are paying attention to that action so you are present. For a dentist point of view, right? I would suggest do some of these things while you brush your teeth.
Right.
So you can be in front of the mirror and you can be brushing your teeth. And someone that, a good friend of mine, someone that I admire tremendously, told me is that it's very good to be in front of the mirror and tell yourself how amazing you are, how smart you are, how successful you are, and happy you are. And you can do it while you are smiling and brushing your teeth, right? Convincing yourself that, you know, I'm believing that you are awesome and that this day will be awesome. You can also do it with gratitude, right? What was great during the day?
Right. Using those 2 minutes of brushing and putting it into place. Yeah. Right?
So you don't feel that it's something added. It's something that is part of a normal routine that you are doing.
Awesome. Awesome. That's a good tidbit for us to take home and also to share with our patients as well.
Yes. Yes. Mindfulness.
Yes. So tell us more about your book, 3G Cycle.
Yes. The 3G Cycle, the book started actually as a way for me to vent, express my feelings. Suddenly was a very good way to heal.
Okay.
I was trying to escape burnout and find who I am for real, know who I am for others, and what I am expected to be. So it was a very introspective journey that actually started as a lonely journey and ended being a collective journey. Because I was very lucky to contact people that, just because of kindness, decided to say yes and allow me to interview them, and became not only friends, but also mentors. So the book talks about different ways to manage life. Mm-hmm. I call these situations catalysts, and we can have positive catalysts, kindness and emotional intelligence, self-awareness, and all those things that help us to go through the cycle of life in a positive way. but they will be as positive as you know how to use them on, right, on your favor, right, because they could exist and you ignore them. But there are catalysts that, let's call them negative, because they challenge you, right? Discrimination, imposter syndrome, having a mental illness, for example, right? Having fear could be negative in some way because they will make life a little more complex. But also could be very positive if you learn how to use them in your favor, how to use adversity in your favor, and allow these catalysts, good or bad ones, difficult or easy, to help you to grow through life.
I think this is so timely in a time speaking as a woman and the different roles that we have as women, as mothers, daughters, some of us that are in the sandwich generation where we have our parents that we're taking care of, and then we have young children that we're taking care of. We're trying to play our roles as physician, dentist, or healthcare providers, and then also just being a friend, a sister, and everything, trying to balance that. I think it's very important to kind of understand how to, I guess, cope with these catalysts that you're saying, because in a world where we're dealing with discrimination, racial bias, sexism, and then of course ageism. So I think it's very timely to kind of intertwine all of those and help us learn how to manage.
Yes, of course. And what I decided with the book was not to only use healthcare workers or people related to health, but actually bring people from sports, from Wall Street, lawyers. I have generations from very young people, medical students, to very experienced people. I will never call them old, and from different countries. I believe, if I am not wrong, that they have four continents involved.
Oh, awesome. Yes. I think it's also important to take into consideration the cultural aspects. So I think that's very key. Yes.
Yes, because we see life different depending how we grow and what are our priorities, and culture makes a lot of difference, right, for many of us. And yes, I agree that we have a lot of things that we feel are against us, and you created or presented a beautiful list of those. But I feel also that it's time for us to remove ourselves from this area where we are victims, which I feel like is very comfortable. Because when you're a victim, you are blaming the system, you are blaming others, you are blaming the president, you are blaming, I don't know, the weather. So everything happens to you, and suddenly you are so weak and unable to, you know, control what happens to you. But the reality is that we have more control of the one that we think or the one that we want to accept we have. If we don't decide to move from the victim position and start taking serious decisions about what we want, who we are, why we do what we do, why we will never tolerate what we are not supposed to tolerate, right? And if we don't align ourselves with our values and we take action, right? We are not just empathetic. I feel sorry for this. Oh, that is so bad. What about you do something about it, right? Uh-huh. You transform empathy to compassion, and you are active and proactive. If we don't start doing that, even in the little ways that we can, that could be with ourselves, taking care of ourselves, right? Being self-compassionate, taking care of those that are around us, our families, our co-workers, our patients, right? So we are part of the problem, because if you're not part of the solution,
you're still part,
you are part of the problem. So it's time for us to forget about victims. We are not victims. We can talk, we can move, we can take decisions, we are breathing, we are alive. And in the case of healthcare workers, we are professionals, we have education.
Right.
So we have a responsibility with ourselves and with our community.
I think that is so powerful in taking the step from being a victim to, like you said, being someone that can kind of take ownership of where you are and standing on those core values that you have to kind of step out of that. That's so, so powerful, and something that's actually even speaking to me personally, that we really need to step out of these roles and kind of take ownership with it.
But you are doing it right now, right? You are placing yourself in a public position where you transfer information to others, where you share to others. And not everybody needs to write a book or have a podcast. You can go to committees, you can teach, can, you know, go and decide to be a politician, whatever it is, doesn't matter. You can create a song and make it famous, or you can go to TikTok or whatever. Doesn't matter how you do it. We are different, and that's the beauty of difference, right? That's why inclusion is so wonderful. You need to have this uniqueness, which I finally decided to embrace. I have been weird all my life, and I feel bad about being weird. Finally, I am okay being weird and different. And you know what? It's fun. And that's what we need, people to go out and show their real faces and show their real values and embrace that and go for it. Because life is too short, and for women or men also, right? Any of us that we have kids, we can today start building a better world for our kids, or we can be bystanders, right? Something that I don't believe is a good option.
Right.
And let this world to keep going in the direction that it's going. Let our kids to pay for that. As a mother, as a physician, as an advocate, as a woman, as a daughter, I have a responsibility, and I don't want to watch the movie of what is happening. I really want to write some chapters here. That's exactly what I am doing.
Literally and in the physical.
Literally.
But it's so true. It's so true. Standing in our authentic selves will help to try to push us out of that state of being a victim. And also, we owe it, like you said, we owe it to those around us, because we are all part of that bigger picture. So,
we are. Yes. Even if we don't want to, right?
Yes, but we can take that takeaway is to embrace our differences.
Yes, and be happy to be weird, be happy to be different, be happy to have an opinion. Forget about feeling so ashamed for who you are or how we think, right? And that's something that we, especially women and minorities, right, where both of us, we are part of, right? We grew up thinking that we don't have the right to think different. And the truth is that we have all the right to think, and we have the right to think different, and we have the right to raise our voices and to bring this, you know, this power that we have inside. And we can be right, or we can be right for some and wrong for some, but that is okay. There is nothing wrong about making mistakes. What is really wrong is just going inside of your closet, closing the doors and doing nothing.
Exactly.
That is unacceptable. But mistakes, yes, we will do them. And only those that try something new will make mistakes. So making mistakes really shows that you are trying.
Right, right. Definitely, definitely. And failure, we always say, when you fail, you fail forward, so that you're always moving in a positive direction.
Yeah, failure shows you something, teach you something, right? And it's part of growth. And if you think about the difference between resilience and growth that I use in my book as kind of the baseline for everything, growth is, in my mind and based on positive psychology, very different from resilience. We have been pushing resilience as, oh, we have to be resilient. That's the, you know, the gold standard. But resilience only means that you are able to bounce back after a trauma or a negative event. So we went through COVID for 2 years or more right now, and we just went back to who we were before. So we didn't learn absolutely anything. How is that possible? So what, right? Grow means that you not only were able to bounce back, but actually that you acquire new skills, new knowledge, a new perspective, right? And that you are able to be in a completely different level. And if your growth was really significant, now you are in a position where you will like to mentor others and you will like to help others. And we should not be running after resilience. That's not enough. We should be running after growth, because that will make us and those around us much better.
I think that's an excellent point, an excellent point. And also the fact that we do need to grow in order to reach back to help bring others along with us.
you rise with others. That's the famous line, right? A good leader rises when he's taking others with them. So
Exactly. Well, this has been excellent. I always like to close with our questions on what would you like to share with your, basically your colleagues in the medical field or other geriatricians or physicians. Secondly, what would you like to share for those that are caregivers in working with, you know, whether they're patients or family and loved ones as it relates to mindfulness, and then also to other disciplines, whether it's nurses, dentists.
So the first thing I will say is that I will give the same advice to all of them, because in my mind, we are exactly the same. We, all of us, we are servant leaders. We dedicate our lives, our hearts to others. And that puts us on risk of having secondary stress, right? Because as servant leaders, we receive this stress that goes directly to us, and also the stress that affects others. So we have two things that we need to protect from. And I will share with all of you guys something that my kid, when he was 6 years old, told me. And I was coming home and very tired and stressed, and he asked me to play with him. And I told him, whatever, okay, let's go. And he's like, what do you want, Legos or Play-Doh? And I asked, like, whatever you want, it's okay. And he repeated the question, what do you want, mommy? And I'm like, yeah, I told you, whatever you want, it's okay. So he came close to me, and now it's in front of me, my face, and he told me, no, mommy, this is your life, this is your choice, this is your journey.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow, yes. And I believe that this applies to all of us, in healthcare or not. This is our life. This is our choice. This is our journey. And we need to be accountable for what we do. We need to be proud of what we do. And we need to take responsibility and be proactive in the life that we want to live and in the things that we want to offer to others.
Awesome. Very well said. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to have you on. It's great to reconnect. Thank you, and always welcome. You're always welcome back to the Aging Pearls podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for doing what you are doing, because it's difficult to show yourself in front of others. For those that don't understand how challenging this is, it's very complex to do it, and bring so much value. So I'm very proud of you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you all, for all of our listeners, for joining us today for the Aging Pearls podcast.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Please join me in my quest to help bridge the gap between oral and systemic health through knowledge, education, and pearls of wisdom gained through experience, while using an interdisciplinary approach to learning. Together, we will encourage more healthcare professionals and caregivers to render compassionate, competent, and comprehensive care for our older health of our most vulnerable older populations. And don't forget to push subscribe, please leave a review, and tune in next week. Clutching my pearls, until we meet next time, take care.